Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 134, episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers and fuck Fox News.
Them all.
It's Thursday, May 21st, 2020. Happy birthday, super producer Anna Hosea. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. If we open up, this never stops. Never stops. Never, never, never. Don't keep us locked inside. That is courtesy of Christy Yamaguchi, man, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Ray!
Oh my God, I hope I have the flu. I should probably get the test. Oh, dude, this would not be widespread. I remember Trump said, oh, sometimes it's just a bug, sometimes you end up dead.
Thank you so much. That's an exacta in my book, because that's also a Christy Yamaguchi main original Adele joint. Dude, you're getting Adele.
We're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by our co-host, Jamie Loftus!
Jamie Loftus, she's the modern boss who is a girl from the city of Brockton. It's a place right out of her story. I'll allow it. Come ride on Zamboni's every day with me and my sonny who is bae. When you chill with Loftus, you are gonna have a pod time. I'd have a good time. A really Jamie time. That's from Hannah.
Wow.
Shout out to our extended conversation about Hanna-Barbera yesterday.
Yes. The Flintstones.
Really good stuff. I have not yet received any pushback on people copying for the Flintstones being funny, which is further proof to
me. I think it's
just
bad.
Really,
yeah.
For Hanna-Barbarism?
Turns out. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our fourth seat by a first-time guest, the brilliant and talented Shauna Potter.
Oh, damn. So close. Hello.
Shauna Potter.
Happy birthday. I hear it's your birthday, too.
It's my birthday, too. Can you guys do my AKA and just sing me happy birthday?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Happy birthday to
you. It could be in the tune of Flintstones. That's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday to Shauna Potter. Potter like Harry. That's all you need to know.
Happy birthday. Quar birthdays are so complex.
I'm very excited to do the same thing I do every night, which is have a lot of wine out of a box.
There you go.
Incredible.
So, is it out of a box?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what kind of box wine?
I really like, it's literally called House Wine. That's the brand.
Yeah. House Wine is great.
And it's $17 and there's so many glasses that come out. And
how many bottles worth is it in a box?
I think like four. Yeah. And there I'm a fan of Malbec is my favorite. If anyone's looking to send me that sweet, sweet wine money via Venmo at Shauna C. Potter, go ahead.
Yeah.
But it's going to be obviously a very chill birthday.
Okay, so we'll get that Malbec fun going, Zeitgang, so Shauna can have at least a box, at least one box.
Sweet,
I think
sweet
chip
wine
on
money or dry, dry wine money. Wine money. I can't speak today, Shauna. It's good to have
so
you.
Humor.
Yeah. What you front a feminist punk band.
Yeah, called War on Women.
Hell yeah. I watched some of you guys' performances and seeing you live looks like an amazing experience, which leads me to believe that this probably sucks for you, this whole quarantine thing.
Yeah, you know, it's really hard to complain knowing how hard so many people actually have it. I really do try to practice gratitude as much as I can and try to put things in perspective. But the idea that everyone I know relies on live music in some way, they're working there, they're performing, they're touring, like my closest friends, we're all just in this very weird state of being stuck and realizing how much we relied on that that's socializing, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. There's just like, we've talked in recent weeks just about the energy of a live musical performance and that there's something kind of irreplaceable about that. I think that's like one of the things that I think most people can't wait to experience again. I'm sure in your case, especially.
And also, Shauna, you got a book out called Making Spaces Safer. That's about sort of, you know, obviously you as a musician working in music, very male dominated spaces. And this, your work is about creating safer spaces for artists, fans alike, and what that looks like in, you know, consent culture. Are you going to have to add an addendum for COVID-19 on top of it? It's like, okay, we're past the predatory men and people that could be at a club. Now I have to talk about people who are not safe with their germs. There's so much I think about now.
Your assumption that we're past predatory men.
I guess the part of the book that addresses that. White male supremacy reigns king, I think, still. But yes.
Like, I definitely still have friends that are like, oh, weird. I was totally harassed wearing a mask and no one could see my face in public and I'm still being harassed. Or
right.
I actually really like how it sort of prevents random strangers from talking to me wearing the mask. It like adds that extra layer of like, nope, we're all supposed to leave each other alone. So I hate to find silver linings in a global pandemic, but that's certainly one of them.
I was pissed. People are still doing the little honk honk when you're like they're
because that's all they can do.
Yeah, they're right. Like, oh, okay, this is a social distance harassment. It's kind of a galaxy brain approach. They're like, okay, we're a safe distance from each other and I'm still making you upset.
But I want you to feel like you're in Toontown and a car is harassing you.
Fun. Yeah. Beep, beep. Check out my gams. Yeah.
They just keep evolving.
Yeah, but it really is, I think, a good time for people to brush up on safer space stuff, because I really do think that when we all feel safe enough to gather again, I keep using this word, but I keep thinking we're just going to go buck wild. We are going to go apeshit.
I think that is the scientific word. Buck
Thank
wild.
You.
Yeah.
I've been overusing it lately because I'm just imagining like everyone going rah, hanging from the rafters and like downing beers and like going nuts. And I just don't believe that we'll have the patience to think about, what are some good safer space tactics? Did I write up my sexual harassment policy? Like, that's not going to happen. People are going to be so concerned with having fun or serving people that are having fun, making money off people having fun, which they need to do also.
Right.
And so now is the time to like brush up on how do you intervene when you see harassment? Because we can still see it when we go to the grocery store.
Right.
Because harassment against Asian Americans is up, you know, like it's still happening now, but now's the time to make sure that we're solid on how
I think it's a great thing for people who, I think for those of us that are, I think the listeners of this show and everyone included in this conversation are conscious of those things. And I think if enough of us can at least be those sort of nodes in the network to try and transmit that information to our other people as well, we can begin to see something. Because I think, this really is an opportunity for at least to give people a moment to at least contemplate things like that across, not just consent, but you know, how we're treating essential workers or how we're treating each other and things like that. So I'd hope like we can go into like a can we treat each other better hibernation along with go buck wild, not like the MTV show, but go get wild out there and, you know, but also respect each other and do it in a new like 21st century way that feels somewhat more humane and empathetic.
Yeah.
And I really hope I've made it really easy with the book too. That's the point of this book, is that it spells it out, makes it really clear, really like, here are the tips. Like it's not, this is not a theoretical book. I did not graduate from college. Okay. So this is just to tell you, here's how we can do this. And it's really simple.
Yeah. Listeners might not be able to, well, definitely can't see this, but Shauna knows what she's talking about. She has a bookshelf, a whole shelf of books behind her right
now.
And
you've read all of those.
I've read some of them even. Yeah.
Wow. That's, I just buy ones that look cool on the wall.
One whole shelf is books that I still have to read. Like, luckily, when you write a book, people are like, well, here's some more books. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'll get to it.
That's when I really got into this, but thanks. There
No, you read books,
books,
not me.
Yeah.
Probably the classiest of any of our core guests. Just the
bookshelf,
the
So you must
framed
not see the Twilight that's up there.
I was actually commenting specifically on Twilight. I'm a big fan. All right, Shauna, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We are talking about the Republican strategy to not blow their empathy wad all at once right now. They want to, you know, pump the brakes on that.
Edge it, baby, edge it.
Edge it. Because they've got...
Who told them about edging? That's so nasty.
Rand Paul.
they've got an election coming up, and they just want to they want to space this out like a Hollywood plot. They want to edge this out. We are going to talk about the we are officially in the horseshit phase of the pandemic fight. A lot of us thought we had reached there, but now it's official. Some of this shit is wild.
Full court horseshit.
We're also in the mail-in voting war, so we'll talk about that. Trump is officially declaring war on mail-in voting by
claiming your rights, on your rights,
fraud.
On your rights.
We're going to talk about Michael Bay. He's got a movie, the first movie that's going to go into production after things open back up. It's called Songbird, and guys, it's
that
about
is,
the pandemic.
Oh, that's just boy.
What if movie, but pandemic?
I hope he brings back the his wife headstone from The Rock. That would
be better.
Still the worst. Like,
Barbara Hummel, his wife.
All the horrifying things in the Michael Bay film canon, that is the most egregious.
I'm so glad I've
I rediscovered that on the episode of Bechdel Cast. I went on talking about The Rock and like my aggro male 90s action porn flicks I was watching.
Yeah. I feel like he got like his entire career now is a reaction to the negative, like the somewhat negative, like slightly negative response to his first handful of movies. Like he's now just like declared war on anybody who's not like a right wing aggro action fan.
Yeah, like he's just like, oh, you didn't like that? Well, you're gonna fucking hate.
You didn't like Armageddon, motherfucker?
That's like, yeah.
that's the best way to make art, actually. As a direct response.
I'd wager that there's a significant.
That's how we got to Darker the Moon.
I bet there's a significant male like portion of the population that would be absolutely more distraught if Michael Bay's films vanished more than like the Bible, like 100%. Like that would be like already people are like, you're going to take God out of schools. But if you're like, TNT is no longer going to show Michael Bay films, FX will no longer show Michael. They'll be like, what the fuck is this?
First, they took God out of schools. They took Armageddon like, out of
dude, that's
FX
his next movie.
TNT.
You're doing it right now.
Yeah.
I know. It
you're
sounds
giving
so
him his
good.
Ideas for free.
That's true.
That's what we do here.
We're going to look at the slow death of Quibi. All of that, aww, plenty more. But first, Sean, maybe not death, maybe just the we're in the Act Two, talking about movie structure. We're like things are very dark right now. All is lost, but then Quibi is gonna come back, come roaring back to success. Yeah, and win the big game with a full court shot. But Shauna, before we get into Quibi's dramatic resurgence, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Well, I've recently been searching the best programs that help you manage your time for a work project, which is super boring.
Wow.
So the next thing, I don't actually even want to talk about it. So the next thing that I could tell you is that I searched for what order to watch all the Marvel movies in.
Oh.
And so I did it in release order, except for the Hulk, because I don't give a fucking shit about that character.
Wow.
Which Hulk?
You don't like a good guy fueled by masculine rage?
I'm just not. I just don't care. I just don't care. Yeah.
I'm on board for that.
I've been like trying to talk my son. So somebody bought my 2-year-old a book of like that goes through the alphabet and each letter is like a different character in the Marvel universe. And they can't wrap their mind around the fact that the Hulk is a good guy because he's just like constantly enraged and like throwing shit around in these pictures. And they're like,
no, but he's exactly Hulk's the kind of guy that someone would say, well, he's always been really nice to me. You know?
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
That's because you haven't seen him angry.
He turns into a what? Doesn't track with the guy I know. He's just a sweet little
he's
guy.
Like a scientist.
I thought his jeans were all ripped like that because that was like his punk style.
Fashion? Right.
That speaks well of your kids, Jack.
Yeah.
Good galaxy brained. Yeah. Toxic masculinity.
Yeah. On the other hand, the idea of looking at someone and being able to just say good guy or bad guy every time is not the most accurate way to prism to view the universe through, but definitely works for the Marvel universe. Although Loki, complicated. What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated. I honestly think maybe we're all learning how much we underrated live music. I'm discovering this myself. Like I took it for granted, you know, that I'd be on tour for weeks at a time. I could technically see live music every night and usually decided I need to take a break. I need a nap. I need to go talk to people. I need to catch up on work. I need to, you know, like after two nights with one band on tour, you're kind of like, okay, I get it. Right. No matter how much you like that band. And now I'd give anything to be in a loud room going what over a beer, you know?
Right.
I think I just didn't understand how much that was a part of my social life is getting together and how good it is for our mental health to see people gather and share an experience like that, and also my own mental health, just being able to vent about what I'm pissed off about every mm-hmm. night is invaluable. So
and just play loud.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of recommend everyone do it once, right? Like be in a punk band and yell about the shit that pisses you off.
Because
my neighbors aren't appreciating it right now.
I'm sure like a lot of, you know, what your fans get out of it is similar to what you get out of it, and I'm sure they're missing that too.
It's wild to see people comment and really just to see how much people miss it and be like, oh yeah, this is the thing that I could go to any shitty bar at any time and go see a band in Baltimore, right? Like, there's so many bands in Baltimore. It's a great music scene. And the fact that I was like, nah, I'm good 90% of the time, I'm like, man, like I really hope that I don't take it for granted in the same way in the future.
I'm just dying to go to the Echo and see one of LA's 3,000 psych surf rock bands play.
Oh my god! Go see some Shoegaze.
I mean, that really flippantly, because like when I was playing in a band, I'm like, why is everyone playing the same fucking psych surf rock shit? But I really want to, like, now I'm like, fuck it, bro! Like, I'll go.
You're
I'd love to.
Yeah,
I love that super Beers cool shoegazer effect you put on with all your pedals on that guitar. I love it, bro. Just keep doing that. But it got to the point where I was watching YouTube videos of my band playing and like sending it to my room, like, dude, remember this show? Oh,
dude, man. Do you need someone to talk to? That is that's very heavy.
I had a very vivid I had a very vivid fantasy yesterday of just like making an excuse for leaving somewhere early, which I do all the time, but just being like, yeah, sorry, I've got like a thing tomorrow, so like it's been great seeing everybody, but I gotta get the fuck out of here. I'm like, man, I'm rusty. I'm not going to.
That is one of my top skills. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
well, what about the phone these days?
That's
like,
true.
Well, I got to go because I don't feel like talking anymore.
My dog is on fire. Yeah. I can't be
I'm the opposite. I'm like, where you got to go? Where you got to go right now? What do you mean you got to go? Right. What to do what? Shut up.
My worst nightmare. Being like,
please don't make me lie to you.
That's honestly, that's the most aggressive move you can pull on a group Zoom call is go, where are you going? Where are you going? What are you about to do?
We know you're not going anywhere, so. Yeah.
Dude, you just cried about how you got broken up with, fool. You're not going nowhere, dude. Hang out on the call with the homies.
Rough.
These are people you just met on that call?
Yeah, I just Zoom bomb calls, and they're like, dude, I told you to password protect this.
What is something you think is overrated?
This is not timely at all, but I feel like if a pandemic isn't the right time to hold grudges, I don't know what is, but I feel like the show Firefly is overrated, and I'm still mad that my friends like it.
What's that?
That is.
I'm still mad about it.
All right.
Strong take.
Maybe.
Are you guys all like a million years younger than me, and you don't know what Firefly is?
No, I'm 30.
I know what it is.
I know what Firefly. I just haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Well, then don't. That's all I'm saying. Don't worry about it. You're fine.
I've historically, a lot of his stuff isn't, I don't know. It's just not, but I also haven't seen Buffy, so I guess.
I know of Firefly because when I first started using Twitter, when I was an aspiring writer, I follow Jane Espenson, and like her tweets are like really interesting tips on writing that I thought were really great. And then I recently started watching Buffy with my partner, Her Majesty, but now I realize is this like a part of that universe, or is this from her mind? Is she the show? Like, what's Jane Espenson's connection?
She wrote certain episodes,
but it's
it's
strictly a Whedon joint, right? Like he created.
I believe so.
It.
Yes. Okay.
Got it. That
and it has sense. The most annoying theme song I've ever heard in my fucking life, and it's like the chords never resolve, and it just drives me up the wall, and I had so many friends that were like, no, it's pretty good, and I'm still holding on to it.
Are you a Buffy fan? Because wasn't this like the thing that Joss Whedon like followed Buffy up with?
Right. Well, see, here's, now I will age myself. I was a fan of the original movie, so I was like, why a TV show? That's pointless. So I totally ignored the TV show. I probably caught it in the afternoon after school sometimes, you know. I didn't hate it.
Right.
I didn't care about it, which is the worst insult I could give him.
It's so sad because she's like such a big Christy Swanson, such a big Donald Trump supporter. And you're like,
oh,
whatever.
No.
She
I
is?
Did not know that.
Yes, dude. Christy Swanson is fucking out here showing her ass constantly with her conservative takes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That is a damn shame.
We have no heroes, okay? Just so you
know. That's true.
All y'all have are us, the podcasters.
Well, I mean, I'm always looking for an excuse to skip watching a show and not having to watch it in the end. So
that's Sarah Michelle Gellar. That's Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Right.
That's the TV show. Christy Swanson is the movie.
Right. And you can't skip the movie because it also has Luke Perry, RIP.
I've seen Scooby-Doo. I feel like I've seen Sarah Michelle Gellar's best work.
Yes. Oh, definitely.
Oh my goodness.
I've seen her work as Daphne.
You are obsessed with Scoob right now. You can't
I'm on a Scoob tear.
Scoob.
I can't
Scoob
tear.
You're missing out. You're missing out. I thought I knew everything at SMG too. Till I saw Once More with Feeling, that Buffy episode from season 6.
I will get around to Buffy.
Yeah, no, and I mean, look, it's not mandatory for anyone. I'm just locked up with someone who has like Buffy like carved into their skin. It's like, you're gonna watch with me too if I'm gonna watch Sopranos. but it's a trade. I'm loving Buffy, she's loving Sopranos, it all works.
Yeah, it's fair.
Hated deceptive
Sopranos
cadence,
is definitely like having a thing. I think we need to do something Sopranos related fairly soon. Maybe that can be like one of our rewatch things over the weekend. Just
too
like
dense, man. Too dense.
An episode. No, like a single episode. I don't know.
As a Baltimorean, I feel like I should push that everyone rewatch The Wire. I feel like I'm
never heard of it. Is that a good show? No.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
Just joking. That's my favorite show.
One month.
The Wirefly?
Shh. The Wire is kind of the Firefly of HBO prestige. What is a myth, Shauna? What's something people think is true, you know, to be false, or vice versa?
Oh, that the clit is only what you can see from the outside.
Hey.
There you go.
Which one's the clit?
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, what's that?
That's a different podcast.
I don't know how much you want me to say about this, but
we talk science, body parts, everything.
Like the history of people learning exactly the shape and size and function of the clitoris throughout history, and then people being like, no, let's forget that. We're not going to teach that. Nobody cares. And then someone rediscovers the clit, it like happens like every 30 years where they're like, you guys, it's actually this big internal thing. And everyone's like, what? The fact that that's has cycled through multiple times is fascinating to me.
Right.
And really, really shows like how much people just kind of hate women and don't care about them in general. But I love just how weird and wonderful of a thing the big bulbous clitoris really is. It's fascinating. So if you don't know what it looks like, find a diagram, Google it, because it's cool.
Yeah. BBC, that's how a lot of people don't know that that's what BBC stands for, is big bulbous clitoris.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, there's that documentary, this movie is not rated, that talks about the fact that female sexual pleasure is like the one thing that you can't show in movies. And that that like resonated so much with, like, that just speaks so much to like what our culture is afraid of and what our culture is trying to control so much. It's like one of those things that just like bleeds through. It's like
you can show like male pleasure in like a PG movie, but if you even remotely show a woman getting off, it's an R right off the bat, and you've just like 13-year-olds will never know that they're allowed. Like 13-year-old like girls will never know they're allowed to come.
Yeah,
yeah,
and that's a thing. That's
they
totally
specifically
a thing.
Cut it out of movies. Like if a woman is shown coming or, you know, having even like something approaching an orgasm on camera, they will be like, this is an NC-17 until you cut that shot of her face. Like, you can't show.
Yeah, now, it's not even. Yeah.
Now release the army of ignorant men who don't know how to pleasure women.
Right.
We have a song about the gender orgasm gap called Pleasure and the Beast. And it's just about that. How, like, if we don't learn about our bodies and how they work, how can we tell someone else? And how on earth would they ever know? you know?
Right.
Like,
totally.
We're all clueless about female sexuality and pleasure, and it's bullshit. So that song is kind of about how I had a lot of catching up to do in life, and I certainly made up for it.
There you go. Hell yeah. All right, Shauna, we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about what is happening in the news.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And so Democrats and even some conservatives have pointed out the need for additional financial assistance for people who have lost their jobs in the pandemic. There are people who are starving, who can't feed themselves, who can't feed their families. It's clear that, you know, one $1,200 check or even a second one are probably not going to get us through this. And so there are people within the GOP who are basically saying, yeah, that's cool. Like, we get that people need it, but you know when they're going to need it even more is when they're almost starved to death and it's almost the election, and then we give them money and they're going to be like, wow, thank you.
Oh, just make it rain on us, T-Rump. Yeah, there's a yes. lot of, T-Rump. I mean, yes, the House Democrats, they're like, here's our next bill that we think people need, that, and we talked about it, that is going to bring relief to the citizens. But the GOP always finds a way to wag their finger at working people who need help, or anybody who is not a billionaire asking to siphon off our tax funds so they can, you know, reallocate the wealth that in that direction. And yeah, like Jack's saying, What's really interesting about this, people are out here just saying the like full-throated, okay, this is from Tom Davis, who is like a former congressman from Virginia. He just said, you might want to make sure you have not shot your whole wad now. This is something he said when asked about additional relief for citizens. He says, you may want to have something ready to go in September. It's an election year. The long term in this cycle is till November. That's what the long term is.
Not to derail, but the idea that this guy's talking about a wad, like, again, speaks to the fact that, like, male sexuality is so normal and mundane.
He's like, because you know how it is. After you come, you're not going to care about what happened, and you're actually going to want to run away from the situation. So if we're going to be good, we better just stick around until we get there, and then it's
fine. I guess you got a point.
And also that he's, like, equating, like, doing a one-to-one with, like, coming and preserving human lives. Where
it's a luxury, okay? It's
just, well, maybe he's pulling
out. Don't
need
God, it.
It's so gross. Like,
it's
he's like, we're really going to need to hold our wad and let innocent people die for no reason, and then I'm going to come at the end of the year.
Which is the only way that Republicans can come, is if they're
if someone poor is starving.
That's, like, part of
that's true,
That's their porn.
Unless they have
porn,
P-O-O-R-N. It's they just can't come without blood on their hands.
But their whole thing, it's just the same. It's like, well, it's fine now because clearly what they just got now was the pre-cum. And clearly they got pregnant off of that. So just wait till the wad hits and the election is ours. So, you know, now what they're saying is like, but even people who understand the economy that are conservative are like, like I get you just don't want to spend that money. But the problem is 70% of our economy is consumer spending. So if they don't have money to give us back to just right back to us, then nothing works. So maybe you do want to give him a check. And so the guy who like runs Sinclair Broadcasting was telling Trump about this idea. He's like, dude, how about you hand out these prepaid debit cards that are fucking Trump branded debit cards? Mnuchin had one of these cards yesterday.
Wasn't
a Trump card, but it was like a debit card. Similar to like if you got like unemployment in this state or like other states have their like prepaid card, but it has like a gigantic Trump signature like on it.
He already did that with the letters. Like, if you received a hard check, you got the big, I mean, and that was a big deal too. That's so manipulative.
So that whole thing is like, but a lot of these other people who are like running industries too are asking for bailout money. You're like, hey, you know, like economic populism could actually be good for you too. Like, it's not just going to be a bad thing. Although I know your instinct is just to give all the, like, cut up the pie and give it to like the 1% homies. But this could also help, you know, like the election part of it. But, you know, we'll see. Apparently he called Jared Kushner into the room after the guy gave him pitched the idea of the Trump card. He's like, get in here. You've got to hear this.
It's my name on a lot of things. More
a
things
what
than
card?
It's ever been on.
That'll show.
But it is, but
that'll
it's
show
like,
Russell Simmons.
Unfortunately, that is smart marketing. Like, that's just applying.
That's the only thing
so
he knows.
Cynical.
Yeah.
That's like, literally the only thing he knows how to do.
He's great at predatory marketing. Like,
I mean, if we all got a card with money on it, we would spend it, right? No matter what was on it.
Right.
It's hard to imagine. I mean, maybe there would be something you could spend it on that would be some form of protest, but... still probably everybody would
spend staring
that.
Down the barrel of that signature. Yeah, that's just brutal.
Yeah. So I mean, I think along with that though too, like is we're shifting into just full on like everything is horse shit. Nothing's real. We can't actually have like meaningful discussion or media coverage because we're too busy covering the dumb shit. And right now, like it's full on horseshit mania right now. Like the hydroxychloroquine thing is unbelievable. And I think it's great because rather than talking about like, you know, the coverage being about, oh, you've completely botched the pandemic response. You know, like rather than like, you know, if you're in a test failing your test and you don't want people to talk about that, just start, you know, getting naked and peeing in your mouth. And everyone's like, we're not talking about that. You failed the test. The story's like, this guy is peeing in his mouth. I don't know what the heck. And this is what's happened with this hydroxychloroquine thing. It's just completely taken the focus off. People are fucking dying still, and money is going the complete opposite direction. We're talking about fucking hydroxychloroquine. And now
I don't even want to know that name. I'm mad that I even know the name of that medicine.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Why?
That you have. And but I think this is the thing. just like with the whole Trump, you know, biosphere, Twitter sphere, takeosphere, all of his followers now have their marching orders, which is like, all right, hydroxychloroquine's the new culture war battle. We're all going to go in to make, to pwn the libs. And you see it from QAnon followers. They're posting bootleg recipes to make your own hydroxychloroquine with like fruit rinds. And not to mention, like, some of these things, like a grapefruit rind could react really severely with someone's other medication. There's another guy who's like, drink a bunch of tonic water because the quinine or quinine, however you pronounce that, in the tonic water, that's like hydroxychloroquine.
I mean, that's clearly just because quinine sounds sort of like QAnon, and they're just
hydroxychloroquine.
Like, cool.
What?
Yeah.
Well, no, I think they are saying very sort of tenuously that, like someone said, like the amount of tonic water you'd have to even drink to even approach some kind of like sort of comparable effect would be like 25 bottles a day for a week straight.
Okay, but I'm going to follow that recipe, but I'm not going to believe scientists that say don't fucking take that shit.
Right.
Cool. Makes sense. Got it.
Yeah. Sebastian Gorka is like using prescription bottles of hydroxychloroquine as like a status symbol on Instagram. Glad he's back in the news.
What a treat.
And so there's this thing called the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, the AAPS, which sounds, that sounds official, right?
American Association of American? Any? Okay, go on.
I trust it.
So Brad Parscale, the guy who's running Trump 2020, tweeted that this medical organization said that hydroxychloroquine has about a 90% chance of helping COVID patients. So have we been wrong all along? Because I mean, that sounds like an official body.
Yeah,
I'm willing to get pwned. As a lib, I'm down to get pwned.
I'm happy to get pwned.
If the science is there, I'll get pwned.
Right. If there's a cure that, you know, is in tonic water and fruit rinds that actually cures COVID-19, hell yes, please be be right about something for the first time ever, QAnon.
Yeah.
But it turns out the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, not as scientifically rigorous as that name would lead you to believe. They are, in fact, a scam group that uses their official sounding name to just, you know, lend the appearance of medical wisdom to culture war battles. Like they support anti-vax shit. They support any conspiracy theory about abortions being like poisonous.
They have the whole thing. So Judd Legum, who has like started this newsletter called Popular Info, I would actually encourage everybody, every listener, to sign up for it. There's a free version. There's also a version you can pay to
popular
do it, because Judd is a very good, Popular Info, and he's an independent journalist. He's the one who broke that Kroger story. Like, he's just really, like, his newsletter is a really great resource in this era we're in, because we get so much weird shit in the news that sometimes you'd prefer to get some independent journalism that isn't tied to a mega conglomerate corporation. So with this, you know, he's going into it. Their fucking hit list is absolutely absurd. Just to start off, he went through this spreadsheet that the AAP, whatever this group is, the spreadsheet that they use, their evidence that that the hydroxychloroquine was actually potentially a safe thing to use. It's such a awfully, terribly manipulated spreadsheet. Like, the data is absolutely cynically thrown in there to show a point that, like, experts looked at it and instantly got nosebleeds from just how awful and backwards this thing was laid out. There's a fucking section in this spreadsheet that says Dr. Oz treated two patients with COVID-19 with hydroxychloroquine, and both of them recovered. There's a fucking entire cell.
I feel like Dr. Oz would have mentioned that. That's so weird.
Don't keep it secret, guy.
Yeah.
Be proud.
And again, like Jack was saying, their hits include from the past, such medical genius takes as HIV probably doesn't cause AIDS, nicotine not addictive, abortions, cause cancer, anti-vax conspiracy bullshit up the yin-yang, and the grand fucking finale.
Drum roll,
from these
please.
People. Obama tricked Jews into voting for him using mind control. What? This is what this
is. This is a word jumble.
Thank you very much.
Allow me to just read. This is what this group has put on paper out loud for people to read. Is Barack Obama a brilliant orator, captivating millions through his eloquence, or is he deliberately using the techniques of neuro-linguistic programming, a covert form of hypnosis? Techniques of trance induction include extra slow speech, rhythm, tonalities, vagueness, visual imagery, metaphor, blah, blah, blah. Obama said, 16 months have passed, paused. Thousands, pause, of miles, pause. Millions of voices. Obama is clearly having a powerful effect on people, especially young people and highly educated people, both considered to be especially susceptible to hypnosis. It is also interesting that many Jews are supporting Obama. So that's who's given the sign off on hydroxychloroquine.
A very good impression of Obama. I thought it was spot on, by the way.
Pause.
That was
16.
Pause.
Pause.
It is weird how he says the pauses out loud. That's that is
also you can be a good orator and be trying to hypnotize people. Both could be true.
Yeah.
Why is it even an or?
It's true. I've seen it in movies.
Yeah.
It would have been convincing if he had been like 4 and then the next number he mentioned was 3 and then but like
yeah, those numbers
they're
just, are all
they're
over
just
the place.
Highlighting random numbers.
Yeah.
But anyway, all this to say that like this is the new distraction also because I think the media has a hand in not wanting to take on the administration directly. So it's easier to be like, can you believe this guy said this goofy stuff? Can you believe people are there's more poisonings now because of this? When really all of this coverage needs to be, people should be an absolute uproar that the administration is essentially using legislation to systematically keep people from living a healthy life, and on some, in a very cynical view, is killing people and demanding they go back for them to die, and at the same time stealing our money and redistributing wealth again to the 1%. This keeps happening, and then they say, "Well, we don't have money for all these programs that you people need," while the fabric of society completely continues to disintegrate. That's what's fucking happening. Who gives a? We know this guy's a fucking idiot. Now turn the fucking. Let's change the tune now to this motherfucker's killing us and stealing our money. How about that?
It is. Yeah, it is on the media to like trade. I mean, these stories are like relevant and I'm glad that they're getting reported like the like worst take Mad Lib organizations. but it's like you do. Yeah, it's I feel like the pieces you read about that a lot often like kind of lack the context of like, well, let's trace this mentality back to its source. And who are the powerful people, because ultimately your average QAnon member is not that powerful,
right.
Which they hate to hear. But like tracing, well, where does this mentality come from? And who that is has power and influence is reinforcing this, and who stands to benefit from people doing the worst takes Mad Libs? Like they, that context is very rarely there. But it's important. I feel like it's critical into making a lot of the administration's agendas work is just having people that will double and triple down on finding any basically any like racist or discriminatory excuse to justify what the administration is already doing.
Yeah, that does seem to be the strategy that the administration is going with. It's like they've noticed that their approval, their support just remains locked at like the low 40s, so they can't win anybody else over, but they can, you know, even though that's not a majority, there are ways that they can win the election with just that chunk of the people, and one of them is like motivating those people to go out and do you know, dangerous things to intimidate other people, and another is to invalidate the votes of the rest of the country that is opposed to Trump's policies. And they are testing the waters with a strategy that I think is going to be more and more of a part of the Trump 2020 strategy playbook, which is making it so that mail-in voting is no longer allowed, or so that they can just take huge chunks of mail-in voting results and invalidate them. Trump is already saying he threatened on Twitter yesterday to pull federal funding from Michigan and Nevada for mail-in voting efforts. He claimed, incorrectly, obviously, Michigan sends absentee ballots to 7.7 million people ahead of primaries in the general election. This was done illegally and without authorization by a rogue Secretary of State.
Which is not true.
Yeah, not true.
Surprise.
Just vote by mail applications. Yeah. They're like, hey, you want to vote by mail? Send
applications. Right, which you're supposed to do.
I mean, just wait. You know they're going to fucking pay. They're going to find some stooges to be the false flag, fake voter ID people, because they're going to, yeah. They need that. They're going to need that thing to point to begin to like give validity to their conspiracy theory about voter fraud.
Every conspiracy theory they have is something that they have done. Everything that they blame the left for, they themselves are doing it.
And what they need though is sort of like just how, you know, like with Acorn and stuff, like sending people in, like they're going to need to generate a story with a specific organization to be able to like, you know, try and hang this conspiracy hat on something, because it's not going to be enough to just say like, well, I mean, all this voter fraud is rampant because none of the data supports that. So I think they need some kind of real data-ish thing, some controversy they can point to, like, and can you believe what happened in Las Vegas or Detroit or whatever, what happened there? I mean, this group was full on, you know, making, I can't see them pushing this strategy without being able to create that story somewhere to get their followers to be able to be like, well, what about that? Because if they don't have that, then they're not motivating their base enough.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see. They have managed to continue to make the claim that voter fraud is a widespread problem with like literally zero evidence to that effect. So maybe they'll just keep doing that.
That's just one of their tactics to suppress votes, is talk about voter fraud. Like,
no, but I think to get to a point where they can throw them away, though. Like to throw votes.
Yeah.
Right. And how are we going to protest if we're still freaked out about getting this virus and maintaining our health and the health of our families? Like, how can we actually mobilize? Like, they are in the best position to fuck us all over in so many ways, because I don't want to leave my house.
Well, especially because we've already seen it happen in at least one of the, like, in some of the primary elections where people in Wisconsin and a few other states were asked to basically like, hey, if you didn't register for mail-in voting, like, this is the only way you can make your voice heard, is by, you know, pre-social distancing, standing in line. And, you know, it's already happened. And the fact that the election is timed up pretty close to when a second wave could start is like cause for alarm. It's like,
but like so much real change in this country has occurred because people were made to feel inconvenienced. The people in power were made to feel inconvenienced. Right. And so whether that's a sit-in or stopping traffic or, you know, showing up with a bunch of dildos at a at an office. I don't know. I just made that one up.
Maybe. Failed,
wishful thinking.
That
showing up with a bunch of
Russian
dildos at my house because it's my birthday. No. but I'm just like, how can we mobilize? Like, how can we possibly inconvenience them by tweeting at them? Like, the tools that we're left with are one tool in the toolbox. Like, it can't be the complete picture of what we're able to do. It's just so scary and maddening, despicable, that they're taking advantage of us like this.
And
did you see? I miss being on stage and yelling about this stuff. Sorry.
And feeling like your body's been taken away from you as far as a tool of protest goes is very, I don't know. It just
wild.
It makes you feel so, I don't know, just power, like more powerless than usual. You're like, oh, I can't even safely use my own body as a method for protest because that would put potentially other people in danger. Like, it's just.
Okay, well, that's a good lyric. I'm going to write that down. Body for protest. Got it. Thank you, Jimmy.
That song's called The Ballad of Zamboni.
They're going to cheat at the election. Like, they're going to find a way to manipulate the vote. And I feel like it's almost a matter of the people who aren't part of the Trump 2020 reelection effort need to be fully prepared to like figure out how we respond, because it's not going to be a normal election. It's not going to be a thing where like Joe Biden or whoever the Democratic nominee ends up being like appeals and like wins by a narrow margin in the swing states. And Trump's like, well done, sir. You have won the presidency. Congratulations. Like, that's not going to happen. And I don't know what people are going to be able to do other than like literally use our bodies to, you know, protest the fact that the election's being stolen. But like, I don't foresee any possible version of the future where they don't try to cheat at the election. Like, that's just going to happen. They did it in 2016. They got away with it. Now they're going to do it more blatantly. And
it'll be easier this time is the frustrating thing. Like, it's, they've been set up, you know, they've kind of been teed up to steal another election.
You know, our activist elders and ancestors would be like, okay, then lose your life. Then go protest, you idiot.
Yeah.
We already did that for you. Like, fight to keep your rights. Like, somebody has to die to get to vote. And that's not unique in this country, which is messed up.
It's like a regular occurrence. So,
I
think, that's the thing is, legally, the Democrats have exhausted their arsenal of responses. Like, impeachment was the thing. Like, okay, now, fucking now what?
When the impeachment was like less than 3 months ago, like do you remember that?
The way the mainstream media has treated that, like, man, well, you remember that? Like, that was
crazy
that anybody cared about that. Anyways, moving on, like that was a mistake. Like, that was a strategic mistake, the attempt to hold Trump to account. It's wild. It's like, we're not really at a dangerous place. Like, the danger is real. Like, it's happening right now. Like, he's taking the democracy, the version of American.
No, it's dangerous now. It's like seeing a house get eaten up by termites from the inside out. You might go, oh, shit, that looks good. You open the door, the shit will collapse on you. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not the veneer of decency is somewhat there. And these other things, but all of this shit is happening now. The voter suppression is real now. Like, we still have constant issues with access to healthcare. We still have trans women of color being murdered still at a rampant rate, like, even more so than like normal. It's everything is happening now. It's just, unfortunately, we have the news that makes it look like that's what is going on. That's not what's going on. That's what I think is the darkness. And even I think last week when you were talking about like where we are, like it's here. It's already happening. We're just doing a really good job of ignoring it and being indifferent to it, because it is overwhelming to say, I live in a state where people of color are murdered and shot summarily in the street without repercussion. People take our rights. People don't have control over their own bodies. People don't have the right to live in a humane way. That's all real right now, but it's just easier to be like, oh, this guy's taking hydroxychloroquine. And meanwhile, like, some people really feel deeply in their soul like everything is really, really bad, actually.
How lucky does Trump feel that he got a virus to scare the shit out of all of us? How much does he love this?
Ugh.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time I've actually really thought about it. Like, I've thought he's like inept and incapable of empathy and he doesn't know what to do. But this is the first time I'm kind of thinking like, oh, he's glad. He's glad that we're all obsessed with this virus and our health so that we can't help anyone else, that we're all only worried about our self-interest, which is understandable right now.
To that point, I feel like there are some not positives from the situation, but there are. I mean, activism is continuing, and it is difficult, and it's like people are trying to figure out how to evolve and how can we safely protest, because ultimately the last thing you want is to be involved in protesting and then accidentally hurt your fellow protesters. That's the last possible thing that you would want to do. But it is, I mean, I have been very encouraged over the past couple months to see people just figuring out new ways to protest that extend beyond like screaming in a Twitter bubble, which is occasionally effective. Usually it's not, but like the organizations that I follow or am involved with or whatever is tangentially around, there's people who have been doing
drive-in protests where they will park in front of like a city councilor's house and just fucking yell their heads off. That's a safe way to protest that is really fun because you can just yell. There are places that are where unhoused people are reclaiming empty homes and empty units and saying that, like, look, this is a huge thing in every major city. There's always a ton of units empty due to greed, and there's always a ton of unhoused people that could use them. And there are, like, movements that are still evolving. There are still, you know, a bajillion people Zoom calls of people that have energy and time and want to do things. And it isn't like, you know, activism and resisting things has stopped. It's just become very confusing, and it's changed. And but it hasn't stopped. Is
just that's like
been
everything.
The biggest challenge, I think, for all the people I used to organize with who are like working in the city and stuff like that, of having to, like, how is there a way to effectively do this anymore? And it's frustrating because I think at the end of the day, we all just need to really kind of accept the fact that we actually have a lot that we have to do to get to a better place. Like, it's not like we want to improve on this place we're at right now. It's not that, it's that we need to actually address a deficit, like a huge deficit that we've not addressed in decades. And that's what I feel like when we get, you know, just the way the media covers these things, it completely ignores that. And it's just, it sucks doubly because now the people who are most vulnerable are being hurt even more.
Mm-hmm. Can I have a tiny self-promotion moment?
Yes.
Go for it.
Like, I think that a general feeling of feeling out of control, like you have no power, I think that's really common right now. And I think that if you don't have to buy my book to do this, although it doesn't hurt, but if you want to have something to do and feel like you're being productive and helpful, like learning bystander intervention right now is great. Learning safer space tactics is great. It gives you something to do that influences your tiny world, because the bigger world seems overwhelming, right? So just focus on what you can do. You can make sure every interaction you have or you witness is a safe one and everyone's being treated fairly. Like, that's possible, right? You can't stop every huge giant bad guy, but you can make sure your world feels welcoming and inclusive. So whether that's through my book or not, like, it's something, I don't know. I just think people need something to do to feel positive about.
Yeah. That is empowering though, because then you can you have your feedback right there that you're affecting change in your immediate proximity.
Yeah.
There's
good
a lot
time
of
for the serenity prayer, whether you're a religious person or not. I feel like
there are a lot of ways that you can help beyond. Obviously, I think what a lot of people have been doing is like giving their money, which is like important. And if you're able to do that, continue doing it. But there are ways that you can like get involved and just like from a selfish standpoint, feel involved with a community and talk to people about the wild anxieties you're having and like translating it into at least an attempt, which is, you know, in some days is the most you can ask for. Is like, well, I fucking tried to help and do something today, and that's sometimes all you can do. But,
absolutely.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's take another quick break. We'll be right back to talk about Michael Bay.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and Michael Bay is also back at work, back at it again, Michael. Not surprisingly, the movie, so he's been like a sort of a covert right-wing filmmaker for the past, I don't know, like
decade. Covert?
Yeah, maybe
he's
not
covert. He's literally sponsored by the U.S. military, like.
Yeah, I guess it's pretty out in the open. But it doesn't get talked about all that much. But anyways,
well, I think it's like a nuance of his work that like you have to actually be kind of aware to see, because it's not like he's always saying like it's not like overt misogyny, or it is, and overt racism. Oh wait, it is. Oh yeah, maybe. Nah.
Yeah, maybe he's been out there. I guess it's. I guess maybe it's covert in the sense that I haven't been paying attention to his movies, and that's my bad. So he made the Benghazi movie that was basically, you know.
Oh, yeah. Ugh.
The dramatization of all the things that the Republicans were shouting about on the floor when they were just trying to work up an excuse to invalidate the Obama presidency. He turned that into an action movie. And now he is turning the coronavirus into an action movie. He's creating a pandemic set 2 years in the future. It's called Songbird, and it's going to be the first movie that starts producing once people are able to resume production. They're already like, you know, figuring out the shooting schedule that's going to allow them to make it without people in the same room. So
I was going to say, how many people are going to die making right. this movie specifically?
Yeah.
So wait, they're doing a social distancing production? Movie is shoot. That what the yeah. idea is? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they cleared it with all the unions, and I mean, this is as the unions are still trying to figure out like how they're going to.
The unions are a fucking disaster, but like I'm interested.
Yeah, so they're going to have people like prep the shot ahead of time, like prep the room, like basically do all the jobs that people are typically doing at the same time on a movie set, but like one at a time in a room. And then they'll like clear the room, and then the lighting person will come in, and then the sound person will come in, then the actors will come in, and like everybody will just do their job one at a time, essentially. And I think it somehow ties into the premise of the movie that like it's a future, 2 years in the future, the pandemic has not gone away. Presumably there, it's not that it hasn't gone away because Donald Trump has completely fucked things up beyond recognition. It's probably some sort of government conspiracy. And in fact, like as they're pitching it, or people who know the plot say that there is some sort of involvement of a government conspiracy. So it
thanks,
will
Obama.
Be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Obama. Way to go.
The show's going to be, I mean, the movie's going to be a fucking disaster. That goes without saying. But it is interesting to hear, like, at least proposed plans. I mean, just, I guess in our fucking liberal bubble, in our little, like, SoCal bubble, it is interesting to hear, like, proposed plans of, like, how people could conceivably maybe possibly go back to work in a way that is attempting to be safe.
Yeah.
I feel like we should let this production run its course. And also, I'm wondering, like, are there going to be oversight people there to make sure that these things are actually being reinforced? I feel uncomfortable with, like, taking Michael Bay's productions at their word for things, let's say.
What? Why? What's wrong?
But it will be interesting to see what, like, protocols change and what there's, the new precedents will be, because it'll have to change. Like, yeah. I mean, so...
And there's a ton of, like, thinking about it going on. Like, a buddy of mine who does a ton of Netflix shows, like the way they're even thinking about like quadrants of productions where there's certain crew fits in one of four quadrants and very few people have access to multiple quadrants to keep everything like contained. Like there's a lot of number crunching whiteboard stuff going on and like trying to figure that out on top of like having an efficient production. But I think the one thing I just want to say about this movie that I'm kind of pissed off about is like, it's about a dude who comes back from Italy and brings the fucking shit with him back from Italy.
Right.
Cool. Bro. So we can blame someone else.
Well, that, and I just love Italy. I just feel like it's a personal attack against me because if I go back again and I have this movie in my mind, like it's going to completely taint people going back to that. Well,
it's also you can like see when the premise was conceived. It was like when Italy was the hotspot and America was like, right.
Ugh.
Yeah. And now, like, why would you even need somebody to be returning from Italy for a movie set 2 years in the future when America is the hotspot and has been the hotspot for longer than Italy ever was, like the epicenter of the pandemic.
Well, if he's still taking money from the U.S. military, and there's I need to find like that there's like a definitive piece on like not just Michael Bay's history with getting endorsements from the U.S. military, but
just the U.S. military in general in film, yeah.
Oh, like that's all like, the art and culture that they take part in.
Well, just that
it's like a long, very expensive military recruitment poster.
Well, yeah, and that there's like people who work for the military whose job it is to find filmmakers who will frame the U.S. military in a positive light and whatever. There's a lot of mutual benefits.
And that's how they get access to the bang bangs and the
that's
and
how
the
you get the tanks. You can't get the tanks unless you're making stuff that pleases the
absolutely.
You know,
well, no, because like on certain agreements, like the Pentagon or an official, someone the Pentagon has some kind of weigh in on like notes at a certain point, like when you're using those vehicles.
They get script approval when you're using like aircraft carriers and fighter jets.
So this movie is not going to be good. I think that it's more interesting that they're going to be one of the first to try to figure out if you like, you know, the methods that are going to be used.
Also, who the fuck wants to see? I don't want to see. I'm trying to escape this.
I don't want to know. I don't want to think about viruses right
millions
now.
Millions and millions
right?
of people.
I know, but I mean,
escape,
like, I don't know. If I saw the trailer, I'd be like, it's about people wearing masks who can't leave the house.
It's going
like,
to be Mark Wahlberg growling.
You know, at least like The Rock had like his wife. And like cool urban camo,
screaming through a thin mask, being like, "We gotta go!" Harder. Like people are gonna fucking love it. They're gonna love it.
I just can't wait. Like Tom Hardy is the one actor who's been prepared for this because he always likes to have the bottom half of his face covered up. So, like, I wonder if he's just taking advantage of that in his personal life, like with just really strong eye contact, and like he can speak an entire paragraph to somebody without using his mouth, just like with his eyes. But like, I mean, so I will watch the first Tom Hardy movie about the, like that it requires him to wear a plague mask. But other than that,
because you think
interested.
He's in the lab right now, especially like dialing it in.
Imagine what his mask game is like.
Independence Day. That's another movie.
1,000 jump shots a day.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Independence Day, all the Transformers, you're right, it's Michael Bay, like all the Transformer movies are basically military like
propaganda
vehicles. Yeah, they're like the Pentagon is the studio.
And it works.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I joined up the day after I saw Transformers 2.
Transformers 2?
Yeah. The first one, you're like, I'm not sold.
The first one had me on the fence, but then, wow. That scene,
you have like, to be sure.
That Bumblebee, that Bumblebee car know. Really is a B-boy, huh?
Is that I've actually never seen those movies.
Some, I don't know. There's some whack ass shit. I'm like, get this breakdancing fucking robot off the screen.
It's fucked
that's
up.
So
yeah.
Fun.
There's a great YouTube series by Lindsay Ellis that analyzes Transformers movies from like every like they do. She does like a queer reading of Transformers.
Oh,
she does
God.
Like a she does like 7 different readings of the movies, and they're really, really funny and smart. Highly recommend.
I mean, I'm sure they're better than the movies.
They are, 100%. Yeah.
Oh,
and
by
much
far.
Shorter.
Most of the things that are produced by Transformers, by the movie that aren't the movie, are better than the movie. There's this behind the scenes documentary about like this, like all these gadgets that Michael Bay invented to like get the shots he wanted, and presumably invented with the help of the Pentagon. But like he goes into these other countries and just treats them like a sandbox that he gets to play around in. And at one point he blows up a car accidentally that was just like parked on the side of the road, and it goes into a building that he hadn't cleared. Like, and
oh my
just,
God.
It's just like pure luck that he didn't kill anyone.
Oh,
and you just
geez.
Like see him be like, oh shit, that's wild. That one up there. Damn, can somebody check in there?
Dude,
anyways.
That is like America's foreign policy right there.
I know, yeah. That's what
yeah, like, that feels like a metaphor.
Whoa.
Oh, shit.
My bad.
Yeah.
Damn, yes. They died? Oh, damn.
Good to know.
Right.
Oh, good to know.
There's another car.
How much is that oil, though?
Damn. Right. Well, Shauna, it's been so lovely having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, all that stuff?
Support you, buy you some boxed Malbec.
You can buy me some boxed Malbec on Venmo at Shauna C. Potter. Or find me on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook. Just search for Shauna Potter. Wow. Or follow War on
Shauna
Women.
Potter, wow.
Eventually, we'll play again. We'll have a new album out when we get back to semi-normal.
Yeah. And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, you know what tweets I really like is the kind of the series of tweets that are like, fellas, is it gay to blank, you know? So I saw one this week, the New York Post shared an article on the 14th that said men are less likely to wear face masks because they're, quote, not cool and a sign of weakness. And so this guy, Philip Henry, tweeted that and said, fellas, is it gay to be alive? And it's just like a perfect encapsulation of that whole toxic vibe.
Jamie, where can people find you, and what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter at Jamie Loftus Help, Instagram at Jamie Christ Superstar. I'm gonna just give another shout out to super producer Anna Hosnier on her birthday. Follow her everywhere. Listen to Ethnically Ambiguous. Listen to Deckheads. Listen to the full Hosnier Ouvre. And then I'll also shout out a tweet from my friend Jared at The Grimy Ghost. That there's a video component to this tweet, but it's worth it. For all you Wolf of Wall Street heads, I guess, the caption is, me when they end the quarantine too early and tell me it's safe to leave the apartment. And here's the video that goes with it. Hold on.
I'm not leaving. I'm not fucking leaving.
I'm not leaving. That's pretty good. Miles, where can people find you and follow you? And what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, PlayStation Network, Michael Bay's house at Miles of Gray. Check me out on those cool spots. Let's see. Some tweets that I like. First one is from my co-host of 420 Day Fiance, Sophia Alexandra at the Sophia. It says, comedians, congrats on our parents really not understanding how we aren't on SNL now that it's just people talking into phones. Wait, so that's just what they're doing? You could do that. Yeah, mom, I'm podcasting now, but thanks. But
what's that? Is a podcast like, you should do that in one of your sketches. That's what my dad says to me.
For SNL, yeah. For one of your comedy skits too. One of your comedy skits. Also from Blair Saki at Blair Saki, I lose my fucking shit when anyone in my family tries to talk to me when I'm listening to my financial advice for women audiobook. I just imagine like Blair fucking aggroing out to her financial advice. Like, get the fuck away from me.
Very strong Blair energy.
Those are my tweets that I like.
All right.
And those are my tweets. We should end every segment like that. And those are my tweets.
And thank you. Some tweets I've been enjoying. By the way, everybody, I always do a big thumb point at myself when I say that, just so you can imagine that one.
You put your thumbs in your overalls.
Guy. You want to make
Siege at C Joyner tweeted, currently auditioning large bass players for my Husker Du cover band, Huskier Dudes. Patrick Verona retweeted this, said thing about this legendary Joker review, and the review is just 1 star. If you've never swam in the ocean, then of course a pool seems deep. And then Laura Marie tweeted, my superpower is buying movies on Amazon the week before they're free on Netflix. Identify. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
So, you know what? In honor of Shauna's band, War on Women, and in honor of the clitoris, we are going to go out on Pleasure and the Beast by War on Women. Put that in your brain. Hey, who'd have thought, man? I don't know if you guys checked this out. This clitoris thing's got a bunch of nerve endings, huh?
What?
Look into that. Like, all around it, man. Like, just not even just like on that. Wow.
So check that song out. For 22 years.
All right, we'll talk about it 30 years from now again. Bye.
Bye. Yay.
The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you then. Bye. Happy birthday, Shauna.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me in.
Happy birthday, Shauna.
Shauna Anna.
Thank you. Your first blowjob I ever gave.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.